God is everywhere. There's no point in the universe where God is not. As our Jeremiah text affirms. So this morning, we're going to consider what theologians call God's omnipresence. God is here, he's there, he's everywhere. Now, this is difficult for us as finite creatures to comprehend. You can't be in two places at one time, can you? Although often we wish we could. But it's no problem for God because God is a spirit, so he can be everywhere at the same time. Now, mind you, that does not mean that God is everything. That's pantheism. Pantheism says that God is the mountain, God is the little flower, God is the sky and the sea. No, that's not God. That is God's creation. Don't confuse the Creator and his creation. God is not everything, but he is everywhere. Look at Acts 17, verses 27 and 28, where we read that God is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. That means that I can't lift a finger apart from God. I wouldn't even exist apart from God. God holds me together. He is the cohesive force in all of the universe. Now, if God is everywhere, I just need to recognize that fact, don't I? You see, at this moment, this room is filled with radio and television waves. You don't see them, but they're here. But if you bring a radio or a TV into this room and tune in to those waves, you'll get a message. And likewise, God is here. You don't see him, but he's here just like those radio and TV waves. And if you can learn to tune in to the presence of God, it will benefit your life immeasurably. God is everywhere. But perhaps your reaction to a doctrinal statement like that is, so what? So what? What difference does that make in my life? So this morning, I would like to look with you at some verses from God's Word that deal with the implications of the fact that God is present everywhere. If God is omnipresent, what does that mean to me and for me? So let's take four common experiences of life. I think they're very important experiences. Let me mention them. Loneliness, worry, temptation, and discouragement. And I want you to look with me at some verses that say to us very clearly that God's presence in your life will make a difference in those four crucial areas if you will just allow God to do that for you. Now the Bible says, number one, that when I'm lonely, God is my companion. Write that down in your outline. When I'm lonely, God is my companion. If I just tune in and recognize it. In Psalm 25, verse 16, it says, turn to me, O Lord, and be merciful to me, because I am lonely, lonely. Some of you may be lonely this morning. It's ironic that there never have been such teeming multitudes of people in the world as there are today, 5 billion of us. Think of it. And yet never have there been more lonely people. There are many different kinds of loneliness. There's the loneliness caused by death or divorce. There's the loneliness of the business trip. It's no fun eating your meals alone in a city far from home. There's the loneliness of a new school. The loneliness of growing old. Aye, and there's the loneliness caused by the husband who won't listen to you. And the loneliness of feeling that you're not understood. And of course, there's the loneliness of success. Life at the top is lonely. There are many different kinds of loneliness. And you will be lonely at some time or other in your life. Can you be lonely in a crowd? Of course you can. You remember when God created Adam, he said, "It's not good for the man to be alone. I will make a suitable companion to help him." Now that's a very beautiful word, that word companion. You know what it means really? It comes from two Latin words, cum, which means with, and panis, which means bread. So literally, you see, a companion is one with whom you eat bread. It's no fun eating alone, is it? When my wife's away, I just hate to sit down at the table by myself. I think that's why the Bible has so much to say about feasting, where people meet together in companionship. And Dr. Horatius Bonner, in his magnificent communion hymn, says, "Feast after feast thus comes and passes by, yet passing points to the glad feast above, giving sweet foretaste of the festal joy, the Lamb's great bridal feast of bliss and love." Indeed. You see, folks, there will be no lonely people in heaven because we'll all be companions. Isn't that great to know? But what do you do when you have those moments of uncontrollable loneliness, when you can't do anything about it? You recognize God's presence, that He is your companion. You know, it suddenly dawned on me when I got to this point in preparing the message for this morning. It came upon me that this sheds a beautiful light on that lovely verse, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, where Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and" what? "Eat with him." Yes, eat with him and he with me. You see, the point is, once you open the door of your life to Christ, you have a companion for life. Aye, and for eternity as well. Look at Hebrews 13:5. God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." You remember the song that says, "You'll never walk alone." It's true. You have a constant companion. God is always with you. When we face a challenge, we always like to have somebody with us, don't we? Do you remember your first day at school? Oh, I remember mine. I remember how I wanted my mom to go with me, and of course she did, up to the school house door, and then she handed me into the teacher that was to be my teacher for that first year. But I was sure glad she was there. We like to have reinforcement, don't we? And when you are lonely, you need to remember that Christ is your companion who is always with you and who never asks you to do anything by yourself. King David got lonely sometimes, and look at his antidote, Psalm 16, verse 11. He says, "Your presence fills me with joy." Isn't that great? Now, here's the first benefit of recognizing God's presence. Write this down. When I'm lonely, God's presence cheers me up. Cheers me up. It makes me feel better. Now, number two, when I'm worried, God is my confidence. When I'm lonely, He's my companion. When I'm worried, He's my confidence. Some of you are worried this morning, and you need to hear Isaiah 43, verses 2 and 3. Listen. When you go through deep waters and great trouble, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. You know, that makes me think of those three gallant Hebrew young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or your shack, my shack, and a bungalow, as a little boy once said. You remember how those three godly fellows walked through the fiery furnace, and it says that God walked through it with them, and when they came out, not one hair of their head was even singed, because they were protected. You're going through the fire, perhaps. Some of you will be going through difficult times this week. And none of us can predict the problems that we're going to face. But we can be certain of this: God will go through it with you, my friend, every step of the way. When I'm worried, God is my confidence. God told Moses one day, He said, "Moses, I have chosen you to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt on their way to the promised land." And Moses at once began to make all sorts of excuses. "Oh, Lord, I can't do that. You know I can't do that. I'm insecure. I'm nothing. I'm not even a good speaker." And God gave him one answer. He said, "Moses, listen. I will be with you. My presence will go with you." And even if you're not a good speaker, your brother Aaron is very, 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 very good at speaking, very eloquent. He'll do the talking, you'll do the leading, but my presence will go with you. Look at Psalm 16, verses 8 and 9. "I am always aware," says David, "of the Lord's presence. He is" what? "Near, and nothing can shake me." I love that. "So I am thankful and glad, and I feel completely secure." Isn't that a wonderful testimony? Now here's the second benefit. Get this down. When I'm lonely, God's presence cheers me up. But when I'm worried, God's presence calms me down. It calms me down. It gives me stability. It's a stress reliever. It gives me confidence, because I know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He is with me, therefore I can handle anything, even death itself. Look at Psalm 23, verse 4. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." In 48 years of ministry, I've stood by many a dying bedside, and I have seen the saints of God pass over. and nothing has strengthened my faith more than to see a smile on a beloved face and to know that that dear one who is about to pass over is experiencing the presence of the living Christ, who is going to take that one by the hand and lead him or her into the everlasting habitations. It's glorious. Now, this kind of confidence doesn't come from psychology, nor does it come from the power of positive thinking. It comes from knowing that God is with me. That's why the psalmist can say, "Nothing can shake me. I'm completely secure." So when I'm lonely, I have a companion. When I'm worried, I have a confidence. And then number three, when I'm tempted, God is my counselor. God is my counselor. He is ready to give me advice. He is ready to help me through the temptation. Look at 1 Corinthians 10:13. This is one of the most encouraging verses in all of God's Word. "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." I'm telling you, that's encouraging, isn't it? It says that when God is with you, He provides a way out. Notice a couple of things about this verse. A, it says the temptations are common to us. That just means that we all have the same problems, basically. Sometimes someone will say to me, "Pastor, you know, I have this unique problem." And they tell me what it is. And usually I say, "Well, oh, I've had that problem lots of times." We all have the same problems. And if there are these common problems, there are also common solutions, and they're found here in the Word of God, every one of them. And then B, this verse says that God is with me when I'm tempted. He's with me. I don't know about you, but that's a motivation to me not to give in. After all, God is looking over my shoulder. You remember that little verse in Genesis 16:13 that says, "Thou, God, seest me." I remember a dear old great aunt of mine, a godly soul she was, and in the little living room in her country home back in Ireland, there was a great big picture on the wall, and there was a great big eye, just one eye. And underneath it said, "Thou, God, seest me." That used to send shivers up my spine as a little boy, because I knew it was true. And I don't want to sin right in front of God, do you? But every time I do sin, it's just as if I'm doing it right in front of His throne. And the real benefit is that God's presence not only cheers me up and calms me down, but when I'm tempted, God's presence helps me out. It helps me out. He knows exactly the struggle going on in my soul, and He's pulling for me. He's preparing an escape route. And that's good news, folks. At least it is for me. Job 13:27 says, "You, God, watch every step I take." Think of that. And that just means that God is an eyewitness to every single thing I do. As much as I would like to do what Jonah did, and run from the presence of the Lord, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. A song came out some years ago entitled, "No One Knows What Goes On Behind Closed Doors." Surprise! God knows. You see, there's no such thing as a locked door to God. You can't lock him in and you can't lock him out because he's everywhere. Psalm 139, 11 and 12 says, "If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." In other words, God has night vision. His radar is just as effective at night as it is in broad daylight. The Bible says, Jesus said it, that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. You know, a lot of things go on at night that don't go on during the day because people think they're being hidden. But folks, don't believe a word of it. God sees everything. He sees right through the darkness. Have you noticed how much easier it is to control yourself when you know that other people are watching? You know, you go up to the salad bar at Sizzler, and you see this huge bowl of chocolate mousse. And you think, oh Lord, I'm receiving an answer to prayer. And you're just globbing it onto your plate, you know. And then you look behind and there's this slender, attractive lady standing next to you. And she's looking at you. And her look says, "What a pig." And so you start putting it back in the bowl, you know. Because somebody's watching. Our son Trevor is playing ice hockey this year for a team in Rockford, Illinois. And he told me that at the beginning of the season, in the locker room as they were getting suited up, the language was what you usually hear in a locker room. Now, only one other player knew that Trevor was a minister. But during the game, he obviously passed the word around. And Trevor said, "Dad," he said, "I really cracked up at the end of the game. Same fellas, same locker room. But all they talked about was how well-behaved their kids were in church last Sunday and what a fine message the preacher gave." And a couple of weeks later, a new player joined the team, and in the locker room before the game, he turned the air blue. And there was stony silence. And he said, "Hey, did I say something wrong?" And a voice piped up, "Ask the reverend over there." When people watch us and see us and hear us, it's indeed a motivation, isn't it? Do you remember that God is always watching you? He is, you know. So when I'm lonely, God is my companion. When I'm worried, he is my confidence. And when I'm tempted, he is my counselor. And then finally, when I'm discouraged, God is my comforter. He's my comforter. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is near to those who are discouraged. He saves those who have lost all hope." I like the Living Bible translation. "The Lord is close to those whose hearts are breaking." If you're here this morning, my dear friend, and you're discouraged, even to the point of being heartbroken, there's one thing I can say to you with the confidence of the Word of God behind me. God is with you. Indeed, He is nearest to you when you need Him most. He is. Philip Yancey wrote a great book a few years ago entitled, Where is God When It Hurts? And the answer to that question is very simple. He is with you. He feels your hurt. He understands your discouragement. He knows when you're not making it. Some of you may be ready to throw in the towel. I don't know what you're going through, but whatever it is, God is going through it with you. You're not alone. And His presence is there because He wants to be your comforter. God is not some impersonal force. You know, may the force be with you. He is not some faraway power. He is very personal. He's right there with you. Jesus said in John 14, 16 and 17, the Father shall give you another comforter that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, the blessed Holy Spirit Himself. So no matter what you may be called upon to go through this next week, my friend, God will go through it with you. And when the roof caves in, God is with you. And He's never too busy to listen. He never says, I'm on another line, call back later. Now, some of you may think that this is just intellectual truth or even wishful thinking. But others of you know from your own experience what I'm talking about, because you have felt God's presence when you really needed Him. He has comforted you and given you the strength and the encouragement to keep on going. Frankly, I don't know how people make it without the Lord. The fact is, they don't. They hurt much more deeply and severely than those who know that God is working out His loving purpose even through their pain and sorrow. Look at Psalm 116, verses 8 through 11. The Lord stopped my tears and kept me from defeat. And so I walk in the presence of the Lord in the world of the living. I kept on believing, even when I said, I am completely crushed. Isn't that some testimony? I know that verse has applied in my life dozens of times when I have been discouraged. Without the sure knowledge and the encouragement of knowing that God was right beside me with His hand on my shoulder, I would not have made it. You see, the presence of God not only cheers me up when I'm lonely, it not only calms me down when I'm worried and helps me out when I'm tempted, but when I'm discouraged, God's presence sees me through. It sees me through. It gives me the motivation and the power to keep on keeping on. But you have to tune in. Now notice the key to overcoming loneliness and worry and temptation and discouragement is the phrase, get this, I walk in the presence of the Lord. Now, how do you do that? Well, here are the keys to practicing the presence of God. Very briefly, four of them. Number one, you need to invite Jesus into your life if you haven't done that already.
invite Jesus into your life. You see, God is around you, but he wants to be in you. He wants to put his spirit inside you so that you can handle the stress around you. Because when you get stressed out and feel all of this pressure coming in on you from the outside, you must have an equal power from the inside in order to cope. You know what I've noticed? I've noticed that when people get under pressure, they always begin to fill themselves with something to equalize the stress that's coming at them from the outside. They start eating more. Or they fill themselves with alcohol or drugs. They put something on the inside to equalize the pressure on the outside. Remember what Paul says? Don't get drunk on wine. See? Instead, be filled with the Spirit. What he's saying is, go for the Spirit, not spirits. And as you are filled with God's presence in your life, it equalizes the pressure on the outside and you can cope. So the starting point is to invite Christ. Invite Christ into your life. Now, number two, be quiet before the Lord. Be quiet before the Lord. The reason so many people don't feel God's presence is because they're too busy. They're too distracted. The Bible says in Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Pascal said that most of man's problems come from his inability to sit still. I think that's true. So several times a day, folks, take little breaks to tune into God, to realize that he is with you. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. He is always there, but you've got to be aware of it. And these little times throughout the day, when you just be quiet before him, can underline the assurance of his presence. Then number three, talk to God about everything. Talk to him about everything. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. A lot of folk have trouble with that verse. How do you do that? How do you pray without ceasing driving around the beltway? You sure don't close your eyes. At least if you do, eternity will come very close to you. What does it mean to pray without ceasing? It means maintaining a natural, continual conversation with God. You know, you wake up in the morning, you look out and say, thanks, Lord, for a beautiful morning. And at work, you say, Lord, I thank you for enabling me to deal with this difficult situation. Or Lord, this is a big thing and I don't quite know how to handle it. Please help me right now. Or as you enter your home after work, you say, thanks, Lord, for giving me such a wonderful spouse and such wonderful children. You see, all through the day, moment by moment, just whenever the Spirit moves you, you keep on speaking to God all through the day, knowing that he's right there with you. You begin to sense that he's right by your side or that he's looking over your shoulder. Talk to him about everything. And then finally, develop the habit of praise. Develop the habit of praise. Thank him for who he is and for what he has done for you. Psalm 100 verse 4 that Mr. McWhirter quoted so delightfully at the beginning of the service says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. That means that we move into an awareness of God's presence through praise. Nothing will help you become aware of God's presence in your life faster than developing this habit of praise. And you know, there's nothing that makes the devil so angry as to hear a Christian praising God, especially a Christian that's going through hard times. You know, Satan tries to get us down in so many ways. He tries to discourage us. He tries even to take our faith away from us. But if we just say, Lord, I'm just so thankful even to be alive today. I'm so thankful for the health you give me. I'm so thankful for the friends you give me. Above all, I'm so thankful for Jesus. Boy, that makes the devil turn on his heel and grind his teeth and shake his head and say, I can't do a thing with that guy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And since he is present everywhere, I can praise him everywhere. And so, dear friends, a whole new life can open up to you and me if we will just become aware this week that God is always with us. You know what it'll do for you? It'll cheer you up. It will calm you down. It will help you out. And it will see you through. When things get tough, just say, the Lord is in this place. Because he is. He is.